This week we turned that corner into what we know as the unofficial beginning of fall. The state fair is over. Kids, for the most part, are back in school. Well, all the fall sports are beginning. There's actually a chill in the air. And Friday night football games, so I love those games. I love sports. But I have to admit that I'm not a very good sports fan. I would always rather be on the field, if I could, than to be in the stands. Some of the most important lessons I ever learned in life, I learned just down the road here at Rosemont High School playing football. I was thinking about my head coach today as I was hearing the demands that Jesus was making on anyone would be a disciple. You have to be willing to give up your family. You need to give up your time. You need to be willing to give up your possessions, give up your very life so that you can be my disciple. It sounds like something my coach would have said to us. He used to have this line. It's, I suppose to an outsider would be considered a cliche, but it meant something really important to us. He said, if you're going to be a member of this team, you're going to have to be willing to give 110%. And I always wondered what that meant. You know, I knew what it meant to give 100%. That means give all that you have. And he would tell us, he says, if you come here and give me everything that you have or you think you have, that's only the beginning. He said, as you get into this, I'm going to show you that extra 10% that you don't even know yet. There is something more that you will give so that you can be a part of this team. And it's not until you give your all that you will discover that 10%. But each of you in your own way is going to need to learn, and you will learn what that 10%, this is going to cost you, that extra 10%, it will be revealed to you. Today in the gospel, Jesus is setting out this distinction between what does it mean to be a fan and to be a follower of him, or as he says, a member of the crowd or a disciple. And he's saying, if you're going to be my disciple, you really do need to give it all up for me. That until you really give yourself over and renounce all of these attachments, you will not be able to understand the meaning of the gospel that I am preaching to you, what it means to be a disciple. And he will say, each of you in your own way will need to take up your cross. And he personalizes it. Each one of us has that extra 10% that will be revealed to us. We each have a cross to take up. And it's not until you give that 110% that you will receive the gift that comes to be a disciple. Today in that first reading from the book of Wisdom, wisdom is described as this gift of God that is hidden to us. It's like a treasure that's hidden in a field, and the only way that you can receive it is if you sell everything you have so that you can have that field and receive the wisdom. So that for you to be able to receive God's wisdom, you're going to have to let go of your wisdom, your understanding. He talks about it's our earthly ways, our earthly thinking, our own perspective can get in the way of us receiving God's wisdom, God's understanding, God's perspective. And that's the cost, to let go of your own assumptions about what God's wisdom is so that you can receive it, and it will cost you. You know, I'm reminded of that fable of the three wise men who come up to the elephant, and they're each at a different part of the elephant, and they have to describe what the elephant is. And the first one, who's at the tail, says, an elephant is like a bristle, like a broom, because that's all he can touch. And then one in the middle who's rubbing, it says, well, an elephant is rough like sandpaper. And the one at the front who's touching the tusk says, you know, an elephant is hard and smooth. Now, in a sense, they each have some insight into the elephant, but really they're all wrong. The elephant is so much more. And in the same way, we have to be willing to let go of our own perspective to receive that more of God's perspective. Now, even though I'm not a real big fan of watching sports, I'm a really big fan of watching sports movies. I especially like high school football movies. And one that I'm reminded of is called Remember the Titans. It's a true story. It took place around 1970, and it was at the time when the desegregation of schools was happening across our country. And in this particular part of Virginia, an all-black school and an all-white school came together to form a new high school. And the same became true for the high school football team. The players from the two teams had to come together, and the coaches from the two teams had to come together. And none of them wanted to be together. They hated each other. And yet, for the sake of becoming a football team, they began to pay the price of being a team. And they all had to pay a price of letting go of something. They had to let go of what they thought it was going to be like. Eventually, they had to let go of their assumptions about one another. And it cost some of them in their terms of the relationships with their family, with their classmates, with members of the community. But eventually, they paid the price, and they began to call themselves brothers. And it became an inspiration, not only on the field, but it did begin to inspire those around them, their family, their classmates, even the community, the fans, began to be inspired by the witness of this team. Today, in that second reading to Philemon, it is a letter of Paul writing to his brother in Christ, asking him, would you please receive back Onesimus back into your home? Onesimus was the slave of Philemon. He ran away. He went to Paul, became baptized, and became dear to Paul, a child in Christ to him. And Paul is asking Onesimus to do something that on the surface you say is not a big deal. Will you please receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother? Now, just imagine for a minute what this is asking of Philemon. Now, in their time, the status quo is slavery. And if a slave runs away, the expectation is they would be punished severely. And in some cases, they could even be killed for doing it. So if Philemon were willing to make this decision to accept Onesimus back as a brother, he's going against the status quo of how you should treat a slave. And then imagine if this slave, former slave, comes back into his household and is now a brother, what will the other slaves in the household think? And imagine what the neighbors are going to think if Onesimus is doing this. This is not the way we do it. How this is going to cost him in terms of his relationships with his neighbors. And it may cost him in terms of his livelihood. How will this affect him economically? It could have a dramatic impact on his life. And Paul is asking him, in Christ, you're already brothers. Can you receive him really as your brother? For Onesimus, I think this is the meaning of carrying his cross. This is the cross where the rubber meets the road in his life, where it's going to cost him in some way, that 110%. But it could be a witness if he's willing to pay the price. We don't ever know if he says yes or not. Paul says at the end of the reading, if I ever get out of prison, I will come and visit you and see how you two are getting along. You wonder. You know, when we have a woman or a man make a commitment to religious life, like our friend here today visiting us today. You know, the real goal of becoming a brother and sister is just that, to really be a brother or a sister, to renounce family, to renounce possessions, and in a sense to give up your own personal freedom for the sake of being a brother or a sister to everyone you meet. There's a cost to that. There's a cost to carrying that cross. We call those three the evangelical councils. I just call them gospel teachers. As you live those out day in and day out, it's a teacher, but it's also the cross you carry. And for all of us who are baptized, who have received that vow, it's our commitment to, we are already brothers and sisters in Christ. And for each of us in our own way, we're asked to carry the cross so that we might be brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe me, it will cost you. Can we be a brother or sister in this moment? With that person, even that situation, can we be a brother or sister? Believe me, it will cost you. Today, as we gather around the table of the Lord, we come to celebrate the mystery of faith, of the death and resurrection of Christ. It is the mystery of the cross. It is Jesus giving 110% to reveal the wisdom of God, the reign of God, the love of God, and it's open to us in His Spirit to receive that mystery, to become that mystery, and to be able to give witness to that mystery in our lives. Take up your cross and follow me.